It's been proven that higher-income Americans generally live longer than people who are on the other side of the income spectrum, and it seems that divide is growing wider. New data from the Brookings Institution shows that among men who were born in 1950, the top 10% of earners live longer on average than the bottom 10%. They live 14 years longer. And a story published this week on NPR's health blog, Shots, looks into that disparity in a very local way by zeroing in on the health of one particular neighborhood in one American city, Sandtown Winchester in Baltimore. Joining us now is Jay Hancock of Kaiser Health News, who wrote the piece. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to be here.
Start off with that neighborhood in Baltimore. Walk us through it and tell us what it's like and why you chose it.
This is a neighborhood, as you said, it's called Sandtown Winchester. We chose it because it was the site of unrest, violence, protest against police handling last April of a Baltimore resident, a Sandtown resident, in fact, Freddie Gray. He died after being arrested by police. And we decided to focus on that neighborhood because it had gained some fame because of those protests. And we also thought that it really, really encapsulated the problem that you just mentioned, these health disparities. And one thing that was poignant to us is that it's really a few minutes walk from some of the most renowned hospitals and healthcare facilities in the country. And so that also sort of points up the discrepancy that you mentioned.
Yeah, as you say, it has some of the best medical centers in the country, including Johns Hopkins, a world-famous hospital there, just minutes away from some of these residents. So what did you find out from the data about the income gap between how healthy people in some parts of the city are treated versus the rest of the city or the rest of Maryland?
What we found is that the disparity in health outcomes was really caused by a disconnect between the neighborhood and the healthcare system. And the disconnect was not necessarily defined by less care given the people who live in Sandtown if you measure care by the amount of money spent or the visits to the hospital. There's a disconnect between the residents and the right kind of care. What was happening is that people are treated all too often in the emergency room is the first time that they encounter a doctor. And by then, their health conditions have reached crisis proportions, life-threatening levels. And what should be happening is treatment in the community outside the hospital. And that is potentially less expensive than the way it's being done now.
That gets to a good point. I mean, why is this income dependent?
You have lots of extra challenges like homelessness. It's hard to keep somebody healthy when they don't have a place to live. You have mental health issues.
But can I just interrupt there? Because you're not just talking about people who might have extra additional problems. You're also talking about people who just earn less. Why don't they have access when there's a hospital right down the street?
They have access, again, to the hospital. But what they don't have access to is preventive primary care to make that visit to the hospital, you know, maybe less needed or unneeded. And it's not even for a lack, if you look at the map, for primary care facilities. There are several federally supported primary care clinics right in this neighborhood. But they are it's hard to get an appointment, residents tell us. There's a communication gap that happens. You know, what we thought was really telling in this neighborhood that has had challenges, difficulties with the criminal justice system is that there's a level of distrust towards the healthcare system.
Is there a sense that this issue is very much on the mind of lawmakers in Baltimore or in the state capital or even Washington, D.C.? How prominent is this?
It's pretty prominent in Maryland. Maryland just overhauled its healthcare payment system. Maryland is the only state in the country where hospital prices are regulated. It's, you know, they're sort of run like utilities. Maryland told hospitals 2 years ago, he said, okay, we're going to stop paying you for every procedure you do. We're going to give you an annual budget, and you need to take care of your populations. And this is a pretty powerful financial incentive for hospitals to start doing the things that we've said are lacking. It's ironic ironic. Essentially, Maryland is telling hospitals, we will pay you to keep people out of the hospital. And so it's very much at the forefront. A lot of eyes are on Maryland. Too early to say how it's going to work out.
So are you going to be assessing, and will Kaiser Health News be assessing what happens now in terms of remedial action, what might get better?
Yeah, we are. We're looking at some of these programs to increase the number of workers in the community to connect people with the system even after they leave the hospital or before they enter it. We're getting a decent amount of data from the state, and we're hoping to dive in a little more and to see how all these things are working. So we're not done writing.
Jay Hancock of Kaiser Health News. You can find a link to his story at hereandnow.org. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Lisa.